stuff. It's always something to make us wrong.
Okay. We're learning the Maimer from Rav Kook. Yisrael Schiosai Yud Aleph that we saw just really in Reb Shaila just brings down a sentence or two. We began to learn Rav Avinir's Hakadoma. We're talking about the completely different worldview of that perversion of Yiddishkeit known as Natsus, as Christianity. L'umas the Hashkafas HaTorah. Let's just start from the beginning. We only read really one sentence. I mean, of course, sentences could be sometimes a page or two, but we just read a little bit. If you don't have it, I'm sorry. If you could look, somebody will help. But yeah, it's page says on it 135. Yisrael Tchiyoso Yud Aleph. I don't know if you have it. It's the last time. No, nobody has it. Chizuk Olam Hazeh Olam Haba. Okay. So we saw the Lumas Hashkovas Anatsus Amenatekes Ben Olam Hazeh Olam Haba Leben Olam Haba, that Christianity makes that separation between the two worlds. That's what we were talking about. We're trying to understand why is it that Yiddishkeit is the ultimate tachlis of all of our Yiddishkeit, all of our Avodas Hashem, is on a piece of real estate in Eretz Yisrael, like a piece of land. A piece of property. You would think that the whole Indian of Yiddishkeit is Ruchni, is connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Olam Haba, and very, very sublime and very esoteric and very distant and so on. What's this inyan, this focus on a piece of property, a piece of land? Rabbi Nachman was talking about his trip to Eretz Yisrael. He said the Basai and all tzaddikim that went there, the trees and the streets and the rocks and the of Eretz Yisrael. It seems to be something which is not particularly spiritual. But of course, the whole tachlis of creation is dir b'sachtayinim, and all the Rav Kook talks about is that nakuda of the indwelling of the Shechina in this world. Christianity did a terrible, terrible disservice to all of mankind and all of the generations since that sickness appeared in the world, which is a separation between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And that's what the Rav Avinir is explaining by way of Hakdama to understanding this Torah that we're learning. Lumas Hashkofs and Natsum and the text when those Olam Haba, V'af Gereses Gibinyan Olam Hazeh Churban Olam Haba. Therefore, Christianity saw that investment in this world is on the cheshbon of the other world. It's a churban. These two worlds are at odds with each other. And when you care about one, it means you don't care about the other. Chayin lahepach, lumas ha'ashkofa ha-materialistis, sheklal enimus ha'anyenis b'olam haba. So you have these two extremes. You have society, Christian society was divided between those who were supposed to be entirely godly, and they went away and separated themselves from society, didn't get married, and lived isolated and so on in what they considered to be the world of God, and they turned away from this world. Then the rest of the chaver was the opposite extreme, completely, completely buried in materialism in this world. Which, aside from some lip service, couldn't care less about another world, doesn't think about anything other than the piece of food or the dollar in front of him. Vapazel cholasipur mo'edas kedusha ruchnias mevneish he gereses masharom yeshno. Materialism says that what you see, that's what exists. So, masharom enokaim, what you don't see doesn't mean anything. So it's either living in a world that you can't see, olam haba, and renouncing this world, officially renouncing this world. The ikur of this world, of course, is marriage, children, and so on. Renouncing this world, or to subscribe completely to this world and to renounce the other world. It's other, or this or that. Mimela, so let's continue as we're up to. Mimela atam adatim, mis'azgim kol azman ben yonim ruchnim, hamistim, hamisitim rather, as daitachem and ha'ikr, so these materialists, those who have chosen this world, so again, in this way of looking at things, this very depressing view of the Notzrim from the beginning, that those who have decided that this world is their headquarters, this is the world that they have, they can't understand, and they make fun of those who turn themselves and focused on things that they think are mystical and spiritual. And because of this, they look at the people of religion as being merachafim. Merachafim means that they're hovering; they're not grounded. They're not in the world. You hear this lahavda sometimes from Jews. You'll say that people that somebody will say that a person that's sitting in yeshiva or somebody that's living in Karlal, that you know it's not this world and they're not really grounded and it's not normal v'chul v'chul. V'lo mudarim l'chol akar ba'olam. They don't know what's going on in the world. I've had parents that have been upset because the son goes to learn in yeshiva and they're very upset because they found that their son doesn't know about current events. That there's a pagam in the kid because he doesn't know that there's the guy that runs North Korea is chubby and has a strange haircut, and the parents can't believe what the yeshiva is doing to their son, that their son is missing out on all this important and vital information. It doesn't read the newspaper, is cut off from the world. These are things that I've heard many, many times over the years, that they're afraid that the child is not in the world. Translate that with Jews, it usually means I don't have to pay for my kids' rent when he gets married. That's really what it means. But it's you're not in the world. You don't know what's going on in the world. You're not doing anything to repair the problems of the world. All kinds of things in the world that need fixing, and you just sit someplace and you think about God. You know, you're not connected. You're not helping in the country. You're not helping the country along with all kinds of good causes that need to be taken care of, and so on. And you're not busy solving the problems that we have in society, and so on. This hashkofa, just in parentheses, this way of thinking, which would develop fully in Christianity. This hashkof is hashkof shabitkufas beis hamikdash hasheni achzu bo hatzedukim. This is really the mahalach of the tzedukim. Shamu ein olam ela achad. Who said that there's only one world? Umuchay yoser hayezah yehudi, Karl Marx, shamar ki adat hi opium lahamayinim. And then there was a Jew by the name of Karl Marx. Unfortunately, he was Jewish, and it's embarrassing. And he said that, of course, religion is the opium of the masses. There's only this world. That's the view of the materialists. Lumas kol elam lamedes osana amunas Yisrael. In contrast to all of this, Yiddishkeit teaches shekol inyanenu, that our whole inyan is lekadosh as Hashem betachtiyos eretz. Is to be mekadosh, to be megala Hashem, to be mekadosh Hashem betachtiyos eretz mamish, in every single. Cell, every single molecule of creation in this world. Nekadis Yishimcha Ba'olam. Kishem Shemakdishim Oysa B'Shemei Marim. Hashem has Malachim and has Shemei Marim, the heavens above. But Hashem wants Nekadis Yishimcha Ba'olam, that we should sanctify His name in this physical world. V'yachadim Zayis Ha'isuk B'nyani HaNetzach Hashiyachim Ba'olam Haba L'Rak Shein HaMachlish HaMetzias HaGashmas HaMedinas B'olam HaZeh. Therefore, not only does one's preoccupation with Ruchnius not weaken the connection to this world, Adrabe. It's the whole tachlis of Ruchnius is to be mekadosh this world. El Adrabe, Rav Kook's words now, this sentence is Rav Kook, Kol masha nosen koach yoser godol olam haba, hari hu yoser chai ba'omets gam ba'olam hazeh. Kol masha nosen koach yoser godol olam haba. Anything that empowers, that strengthens the light of Ruchnius of Olam Haba, her Yosef Chai Ba'omets, the greater it lives in a way of strength and power, Gam Ba'olam Hazeh. The strengthening of Ruchnius is the strengthening of Gashmius. It's not a stira. It's not a contradiction. Shekein Me'acher, so Rav Avinir explains. Shkein ma'acha umatra seinu ha'yisod is hi chaya netzach sholeilam haba. Since we understand that the ultimate tachlis is eternal life of olam haba, mitoch kach, so he brings the language of Rav Kook, mitoch kach ha'yizgarbus ha'ruchonis ha'alyonim ha'chazekes es ha'tchonim ha'maisim u'megaberis es ha'inyanonus ba'olam u'b'chayim b'chol ha'shabah. The any hisgabrus, Rav Kook explains, any strengthening of Ruchnius Ha'Elyona, any strengthening of Ruchnius strengthens our interest and our involvement in all that exists in this world, to lift it up, to strengthen it. Remember that according to the Mekubalim, the ultimate tachlis is not a spiritual world. Olam Haba is a stopover on the way to the ultimate end, which is Tchias HaMesim, which is the Neshama Beguf. The Rambam has a different mahalach. The Rambam says the ultimate tachlis is a world without the guf. But that's not what the Ramban and all the Mekubalim disagree. And the Mekubalim hold that the ultimate tachlis, the Ramchal and the Ramban all the Mekubalim hold that the tachlis is that will be neshama beguf, that the body and the soul will be brought together in a way that is pure, that is good, that is holy. In other words, they'll be eating and drinking and living in this world and having children. Not the matzav of Olam Haba, shenenem is zivashchina, atosem v'shem nev zivashchina, that they're sitting somehow, the neshama said there was zivashchina. There's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no regular life. The Ramchal says that the neshama is in shamayim. After a person dies, the neshama is waiting anxiously to return to the guf. That's the Ramchal says. That the neshama is waiting to come back to the guf. That's how it is. You know, you're never happy where you are. That's like all we're talking about is to finally be able to.
We're going
to
miss something.
Yeah, all we're talking about is finally Gan Eden. Let them happen. We're going to be there. We're going to say, it's going to as I get. It was so good. I used to be able to taste my cholent, you know. To be able to be in the world and to be able to smell Yerushalayim, and here I'm sitting here, what am I doing over here? There's nothing going over here. It's like all Ruchnius. Of course it's not going to, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not going to be sad over there. But the Ramchal is saying that the Neshama is waiting to be back in the Guf, because the Neshama understands that the ultimate Tachlis is not the Ilman Neshamas. It's not the ultimate Tachlis is the Neshama Beguf. Neshama Beguf. If any has Gabrus and Ruchnius, it's not supposed to be on the Cheshbon. It's not on the Cheshbon of Gashmis. It's to illuminate, to uplift, to refine, to perfect, as is the ultimate Tachlis by Tchias HaMesim. And therefore, this separation between those two worlds, Rav Kook saw as being the underlying poison of Avodah Zarah, of Christianity, this separation of worlds. Is the most terrible poison. He says, therefore, the truth is, in a healthy matzav, the greater gevura one has in Ruchnius, the greater omet, strength and courage and conviction and amunah that a person has, the greater ruchnius, those are the best soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, the boys with the yarmulkes. That's yadua. That those who are filled with the belief in both worlds, they make the best soldiers. Kalkolas, economy, politis, and chumris, and politics, and chumris. Doesn't take away, just the opposite. It makes one's work in the army, when a person is a soldier in the army, so that avoided that the soldier is doing is a melechas hakodesh. When there's no olam haba and it's just in this world, so you hope that the soldier is idealistic about helping people with fighting and so on. But you can't compare that to somebody who's a mom and who's filled with amunah and is a Jew that is on fire with Avodas Hashem. He knows that every single second that he's spending as a soldier defending this yeshuv or defending this border or fighting in a milchama, that every single second is mamish kodesh kadosh. It's not a contradiction to his Yiddishkeit. It's not that he's taking off from Yiddishkeit. The outgrowth of his avodah, the outgrowth of his convictions, of his emunah, is to put on this uniform and to fight for the Jewish people. So how could there be a better soldier than that? How could there be a better soldier? If you have the mazel, you're able to put a bullet into the head of one of the, of those Yishmaelim of our enemies. So it's not just that you're killing this particular dangerous person who's a threat to everybody. It's a nitzochna over the klip of Yishmael. It's a klip of Yishmael. It's not stam, my personal thing with this guy. It's the klip of Yishmael. And every feeling of gvura and ruchnius that a Jew has adds to the gvura and gashmius. It doesn't take away from the gvura and gashmius. It enriches and it deepens. It makes every single physical act filled with meaning and depth and significance and so on. So it doesn't, in a healthy way, in a healthy situation, the ruchnius doesn't take away from the army or economy or from politics or who, whatever to help, what needs to get done. Just the opposite. Nimsa shechizik olam haba. Therefore, when you're strengthening olam haba ruchnius, hu chizik olam hazeh. Chizuk alam hazeh, and in a healthy situation, chizuk of this world is a chizuk of alam haba. This also works the other way. Is a chizuk of alam haba. Before we go on, in the Torah, look at footnote 563 on the bottom. Ayin Eilis Raya Mitzad HaChoch Mel Yoyna Ha'ilam HaZev Ha'ilam HaBo Klulam Heim B'yachad. So in the Siddur, Rav Kook explains Mitzad HaChoch Mel Yoyna, from that perspective of Hashem's wisdom, Ha'ilam HaZev Ha'ilam HaBo Klulam Heim B'yachad K'shem Shemakdi Nekadish Yishim Chabo'ilam K'shem Shemakdi Yishim Ha'isim Mishmeimor, that the two worlds a klulim hem biyachad, are bound one to the other. V'cholam mechazik is olam haba. So if Cook says clearly that whoever is mechazik olam haba is mechazik is olam hazeh. V'cholam mechazik is olam hazeh. The next page of the note, mechazik is olam haba. Those are Rav Cook's words. And his son Reb Tzvi Yehuda discusses this also in olam hazeh olam haba. We say amitius kedushasum sheyisrael. The true holiness of the Jewish people, he shah olam haba, for olam hazeh hei minyan echad, is that olam haba, the kedusha of the Jewish people is that olam haba and olam hazeh is inyan echad. That's the kedusha. Not that takes away from the kedusha. That's the kedusha. Sheor olam haba yoyer ba'olam hazeh, that the light of the other world, that the light of ruchnius of olam haba should illuminate this world. The Mishnah be Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Olam Hazeh Dorim LePrayos, Dor B'fnei Olam Haba. That this world is a hallway that's leading up to Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh Hu Prayos Dor Normali, Lumas Hatraklin HaMalchusi. This world is, Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda said, this world is a normal, in other words, when you're walking in the hallway, you're not overwhelmed. When you're on the way to the palace, you're on the way to the royal chamber. It's the prose there is a prose that's supposed to be normal. The traklin is already royalty. When you get to the end, it's royalty. Ach eifo nimsa prose there. But where is the prose there? I mean, it would be a crazy thing. B'merchuk shel 50 kilometer. Imagine if you have a hallway, as you want to go, so you're going to see the king, right? So they tell you, listen, you want to get to the traklin, you want to get to the chamber, the king. So you have to go through there's a mahalach, you have to go down the prosda, right? So you say, fine. So you head to the palace, and they tell you, no, the prosda is 50 kilometers away. The hallway is someplace else. That's ridiculous. The hallway is leading into the traklin. So the Rebbe Yehuda says, "Ach, eifo nimtza prosda b'mechak shel 50 kilometer, but the prosda is 50 kilometers away. Humuchuber la'traklin. This world is not 50 miles away from the other world. It's mechuber. Oz ha'or shebetraklin hamuah b'milyonei iris meyu mefitz or la'prosda." He says in a beautiful way. Rebbe Yehuda says that. When you're in the hallway, I mean, other tzaddikim say this also, that when you're in the hallway, and the hallway is connected to the destination, to the king's place, so then there's already light that's coming into the hallway from the royal chamber. There's already light that comes in the hallway, you already can feel. You can it's normal, meaning normal. It's olam hazeh, and you. And you eat, and you drink, and you sleep, and you work, and so on. It's this world. But it's a world that's a lichter gewelt, you understand? It's a world that already has in it some of the light coming from the traklin, because it's mechuber to the traklin. But if the prose there is not mechuber to the traklin, Allah has come of a kama, if there's no traklin, if there's no king, so then what is this world? It's not a hallway. Stam. A road that doesn't go anywhere. It's a road that doesn't go anywhere. It just goes to the grave. That means if you don't have that connection from one world to the next, if it's not mechuber, like the mikveh with the bor, if it's not mechuber, so then this is a world that is leading to the grave. And the grave is open, and the darkness of the grave is already felt in the prosda, which is how people feel in this world, without another world. This world is a dark world. It's a dark, miserable world. I had a conversation with a very, very wonderful woman on the phone yesterday who Nabuch lost her husband recently. And she's a firm lady, a very fine family and so on. And we were talking a little bit, and I asked her, how's it going? You know, how are you doing? And she said, you know, honestly, it's not going well. I mean, she misses him terribly, and it's terrible, terrible, terrible. So, and she was... It was very hard. And they had a very beautiful relationship for many years, and it was very hard. So I said to her that, Chef Chizik, whatever, I don't know, some silly thing that I said. And then she said that there was somebody that gave her some encouragement, that a friend of hers told her that, you know, you need to be very, very focused on the good times that you had, on the memories that you have, on the... You had a beautiful marriage and a beautiful life together and so on. You should try to be focused on that. And she said to me, so I try to do that, and it gives me some comfort, but it's hard. So then I said to her, I said, that's Narishke. That's Narishke. She said, I shouldn't have good memories. I said, of course you should have good memories. You had many years together, and it's beautiful to have good memories. And it's nice. Look, take out the albums and look at the pictures. And it's, of course, it's nice. But I'm saying it's Narishkeit in terms of be'emes, what it means in the Chome, what it means a chias for a Jew to have and to be able to continue on after such a thing. It's Narishkeit. It's a kleine kapur. So she says, so what am I supposed to do? I said, think of the next world. Not what was, but think of what's going to be. I said, your story with your husband is not finished. You're going to have... This was just a little clip. Like they send out the video for a minute. This was like a minute. It was a clip. The ikkah that you're going to have is forever and ever. You're going to be together with him. At that time when it's supposed to be, you'll be together. It's not... your story with your husband is not finished. This was a little clip, a preview. You're going to have many, 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 many infinite. It's going to be, it's going to be geschmack. You're going to have memories. Memories are nice, but, it can only go so far. And then you start losing your memory, But the future is, mamish. So she said to me, do you really believe that? I said to her, you also believe it. You're an Orthodox Jew. It's one of the Gimli Karim, She said, I know that I'm supposed to believe that, but I'm having a hard time with that. So I said, I understand, because now it's Lamaisa. It's like you could call yourself a big mom and a big Babi Tochen, but if you could make $1 million by and nothing's going to happen to you, so then it's practical Amunah 001, right? Until now you were saying over Sfasemes and Tanyas, you're a big mom. But now, Tachlis, are you going to take the money? No one's going to catch you. No one's going to. So now it's Tachlis. So I said, okay, you always believed in Olam Haba, but now it's Olam Haba 001, Lamaisa. So I said, there's something that I recommend, there's something to read, and we can talk more about it. One needs to understand more what's the Inyan. She says, she wants to be able to be in that place. She wants to be able to strengthen that. And I said, because at the end, otherwise, that's what Reb Tzvi Yehuda is explaining. Otherwise, you're walking in a hallway, and the hallway at the end is just a grave, so then it was his. And if there's a grave, so you're ready, while you're in this world, you already feel that. Tam Misa. But you see, you talk to people there. Tam Misa, mamish. The whole life is a Tam Misa. It's just, where does it go? It goes nowhere. It goes into nothing. But if the prose there is connected to the tracklin, and you're a Jew that you live in this place of connecting Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, then the Gashmis and the Ruchnis is a whole. The Gashmis is a hallway that leads to the banquet hall, the royal chamber, and that's the Ruchnis. And the doors open, and there's already light that you feel. That you feel when you're eating, when you're playing with your kids. It's not just tam. It's not that this is something that's just a physical thing. It's completely, completely mechuba to the tracklin of HaKadosh Baruch, that which is infinite. It's a whole different way of thinking. It's talk about where does optimism come from? Where does pessimism come from? You tell a pessimistic person you should be optimistic, which is really what I was trying to tell her. Looking back at pictures, that doesn't make you into an optimistic person. It makes you into a person that could even slip into something unhealthy, without going into the bayriches. I not only did I hear about such things, but I even had a mice like this, where there was a mother who lost a daughter, and she would go every day there and to set the dolls up on the bed and to take the clothing out from the, to make her clothing ready for her to dress. It's the most terrible, terrible thing. Such a thing. I think about it. Now, this is the mice I saw like 25 years ago. I still think about it sometimes. It's such a scary and sad thing. But the past is only... But there's a chibur between this world and the next world. It's not finished. The parish is not done. That's what Reb Tzvi Yehuda is explaining. The tracklin's not 50 kilometers away or 50 light years away. Call yourself Yesham Chelok Lom Haba. That's how we begin to say Pirkei Avos, right? Call yourself Yesham Chelok Lom Haba. I'm a Kulam Tzaddikim, Loilam Yeshuar. It means that we're Mechuba to the Traklin. Every Jew has to walk around every minute of his life thinking, Ani Mechubar, I am Mechuba to the Traklin. What I'm eating right now, it's not Stam. This food, this act of eating, is to eat it from that perspective of being in the hallway and looking up in the hallway and already seeing some of the or. It's a different way to eat. It's a different way to live. Oz ha'or shebetraklin hamur b'milyoni iris. The light of the traklin has millions and millions of iris. Ayin le'rosa, we didn't see with our eyes the traklin. Then the light is meyu mefitz or ala prosdor. Then it shines its light into the prosdor. It shines its light into the hallway. Then you have a lichta goylem hazeh. Then you have an oylem hazeh that's shining. That doesn't mean that you have a bigger house that people. I told you what the tzemach tzedek said to his son, to the Rebbe Maharash, Chusay Yelain. But the Rebbe Maharash, that he moved out of his little shack that he lived in, and he was able to make for himself a beautiful home. He made for himself whatever was beautiful in Lubavitch in the 1870. I don't know what it looked like, but it was I guess for that time it was a big upgrade, right? So his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, came to see to visit and to give Mazel Tov to come to see the house. And the Rebbe Maharash was showing his father, was showing that the windows, that they were so big, and it was a very big luxury in those years to have big, it was expensive, and they had big windows, big glass, it was very, very nice, it was beautiful, the house was very bright, and so on. So the Tzemach Tzedek looked, and he wasn't impressed, and he said, by the Zayde, I mean, by the Alter Rebbe, by the Baal Tanya, he says, the windows were much smaller, but there was much more light, and that's what he said. He had small windows, but there was much more light. So you can live a life where you have the biggest windows in town, you know, and you have the fanciest and the big, but that doesn't mean that you're connected to the track limb. And you could have you could live in some horrible little hovel in some chutzir or someplace in Meir Sharm, and you could have, you know, like you see it's the Yidden over there from the old Jews that they have a face mamish that's connected to Olam Haba, that they live connected to Olam Haba. And they have small windows with a lot of light.
The windows used to be
and
small.
You could have big windows and you could have very, very little light. And there are people around here that have a lot of, around here and other places in the world, that have big, 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 big windows, but there's very little light. And that's why, even though they have the biggest windows in town, life is not good, it's not this. The other person has four maids, I only have three maids. How could I do this? Today I had to pick up my cup instead of someone picking it up for me. So it's not so the Olam Hazeh they don't have either. But when the Prozdar is connected to the Traklin, when it's connected to the Traklin, then even if you, God forbid, you're in a place where you don't have any water and you have to lick it up from the snow to have in your mouth, you're in a different place. You're in a place of Simcha. It's a different way of looking at life. The Prozdar Traklin connection. That's a different way of thinking. What was it, Nisim?
I was going to say that windows used to be small on the outside, and they'd open up on the inside.
Right.
So whatever light came in, it was much bigger on the inside.
No. Nope. Right. So even how they're made physically is different. Or Godel, or Hakadosh, or Shleimus Amitus Achaim that shines from Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh. There's no machitza between this world and the next world. It's a hallway, and there's light that comes from that place. And that's the light of Or Gadol, Or HaKadosh, Or Shleimus, Amitius Achayim, Or HaOlam Shekulei Aruch, Meir is Olam Hazeh. That other Abba that is Meir, that illuminates, that gives light to Olam Hazeh. Vayin Shom, yeah, he says, Maimer Noishal Ilan Betorah Be'aretz. Shom Omer Rabbeinu. So there, Reb Tzvi Yehuda explains that this same Reb Yaakov is the one who said that Olam Hazeh is like a prozdor that's leading to Olam Haba. The Ki Oyser Reb Yaakov Shekoveya Esayachas Ben Olam Hazeh L'Olam Haba. Who was the one that explained and spoke about this kesher between the hallway and the hall? Who is Rabbi Yaakov HaOmer? The same Rabbi Yaakov who says in Pirkei Avos also, "Hamahalach bederech v'shoyne umafsik mimishnasu v'omer manoil anze manoil nirze." A person who's walking. We've learned this story many times. A person who's walking. And he's mahal bederech v'shoyne, and he's because they used to everything they learned baal peh, right? So the person is walking and he's saying over Torah, and he's mafsik mimishnaso, and he stops, he interrupts his learning, And he says to admire, Manoilanza, Manonyaze, he admires the trees and the flowers. And Malo of Akosov Kilomischai Benavsha. So Rabbi Yaakov says that he's Kilo, he's a person like that, Kilo is Mischai Benavsha. Of course, you don't put him to death. It means he's worthy of dying. He deserves death. He's Mischai Benavsha. So what's the big avl over here? That he's learning, and he took a look and he admired. There was a nice tree. There was a flower or something, and he's mischai benafsha. So this is a Torah from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Tzvi Yehuda does not say it from the Baal Shem, but it's from the Baal Shem Tov. The problem with this person is Hainu Mipnei Shehu Mafsik Mimishnaso. He sees two worlds. There's the world of learning, and that's Shnayim Arichos Matarlos, whatever the Gemara is that he's learning. He sees the world of learning. And then there's the other world. There's the world of Gashmius. Then there's the trees and the flowers. So what the Mishnah is saying is, Rabbi Yaakov is saying, is that this person is learning. So he's an Olam Habadika place, right? He's learning. And then he stops that. There's a wall. And then he looks at the trees and the flowers. He's making a separation between the two worlds. He's mafsik mimishnaso. Truthfully, on a deeper level, there should be a chibur between his learning and what he's looking at. And when the traklin and the prosdo are connected, he doesn't stop his learning when he looks at the tree. The tree itself is a reminder of the Bari Olam. The tree itself is reflecting the light of the Torah. Therefore, the tzaddikim, when they look at the tree, they start thinking of different things that have to do with the tree. And they take the tree and they think, where does this tree come from? The tree comes from the seed. And where does the seed come from? They go back and they say, ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, ein od milvado. The problem with this guy is that he learns, and then he's mafsik mimishnas. That happens in many, many ways. You have a person that could be learning in the morning. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago. He's learning in the morning. He's mafsik mimishnas, and then he goes to work. What happens to that guy at work? Anything could happen to him at work. And if somebody sees him, let's say there's some sweet Baal Tshuva that's working in that place, and the Baal Tshuva says, "Oh, Rabbi," he said, "I'm not a rabbi." Well, I know that you learn a lot of Torah, and you were giving a shiur this morning and everything. But please, if you don't, I hope I don't mean to insult you, but I noticed that when you're at your desk, you're constantly looking at your secretary instead of at your computer, and probably at your computer looking also at other secretaries. So I don't understand. There seems to be a contradiction between what you do in the morning, the shiur that you're giving, and then the shiur that you're learning in the afternoon at work. So this Baal Tshuva says that, and then this fellow has to put his arm around him to explain to him, to give him an introduction to what it means to be an observant, an Orthodox Jew, and Tav Shnayin test. He said, listen, give unto God what is God. As the morning is, that's Olam Haba. That's the mikveh. In the morning I learn Torah. That's Olam Haba. Then I'm mafsik mimishnasi. That's a mafsik. That's the prosdo. No, not the prosdo. That's the traklin. Adkan traklin. Adkan, the king's chamber. Then I'm mafsik mimishnasi. I'm mafsik mimishnasi. And he says, by the way, I didn't just start looking over here in the office, but even on the train and even on the way to work, I was looking at things. Because the traklin was finished when I walked out of the shul. Not out of the door of the basement, upstairs. I took it till the door outside, until the parking lot or the train. But once I got into the train, it was ready. There's no more. That was the traklin. And now I'm someplace else. And what about the pros? The pros is 50 kilometers away. There's no connection. See, it's masik mishnah. So the same thing, a person takes a dal that's not honest, or says something that's lashon hara in the office. So what about the fact that you were learning in shul this morning? I saw you. So the guy tells the Baal Tshuva, listen, if you want to be from Jew, you have to know how to stop to be mafsik mimishna ascha. Don't take your Yiddishkeit to work with you. Don't take your Yiddishkeit to the house with you. You can learn the Mishnah and the Gemara in shul, in the Beis HaMedrash. And when you get home, you have to be able to insult your wife and to hurt her feelings and to yell at the kids and so on, because you need to be able to separate between Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. No? I mean, I'm making a caricature of of how, you know, we often do things. But it's not so off from reality. No one would say such a thing, but the Mitzvah is that you walk out and not come. Mafsik Mimishnosa. Mafsik Mimishnosa. Sometimes you see some of these Hasidic guys up in the mountains in the summer. I say, whoa, what happened to you? That payas got tucked in someplace, and you got, you know, the alligator on your shirt, and you, and like Misty, the tzitzis you wrapped, you put them, first of all, they're not outside, you put them inside, and then you wrap the tzitzis around your belt, and you're like a cool dude over here. You know, he's got all, of course, he's got all of his gadgets, you know, they, and, you know, what happened to you? You don't look like that. You don't look like that back at Bedford Avenue. You know what happened to you, Rebbe? That's in Williamsburg. This is the country, and doing the country. The tzitzis go here, and the payas go there. You see, they get tighter. The payas, they get tighter right up in the mountains. They get tighter. They get tighter and tighter. And the beard gets a little shorter sometimes. And that's the least of it. You know, you could be a fine Jew without having to pay us and without having the beard. That's the least of it. It's the other stuff that comes with it. You know, the other stuff that comes with it. Why? Because he associates his home with Olam Haba, where he lives. That's Olam Haba. Then now he's 50 kilometers away, a little bit more than that. And he's now in a different. He's in a prize door, but the prize door is not connected to the track. Understand? Adkan. And Rav Kook was teaching us that that's Christianity, bad son. That's Christianity. Olam Hazan, Olam Haba. A person has to see. You have to feel that when you walk out of shul, ki'ilu, you're going through a tunnel. Like when you go, if you're going to the train, your mom's going over here. It's not. It's on top. But ki'ilu, you're going into a tunnel that from shul that's connected to work. And you should be able to turn around and to see your friends from shul, to see the svarma, to see your shtender, whatever it is, to see shining into the place that you're working. So with the girl sitting over there, I'm sorry to use this as an example, but if the girl's sitting over there, and so where your eyes should be in the right place. But if you're, to be on your work, and if you're mafsik, And you let go of that connection, that chibur to the tracklin, anything can happen. Anything can happen. If those are two separate worlds, anything can happen. But if work is a proizdar that is connected to the tracklin, then every single thing that you do and how you speak and what you do is kaidish, is holy. To work honestly and in the right way, with the right kavanas, and to how to treat people, and so on and so forth, then it's kodesh. So that's what the Mishnah means. If this person is learning, and then he's mafsik mimishnaso, he stops learning, and says, "Oh, what a beautiful tree! Wow, he's mischayv benafsho. What's so terrible about admiring the tree? Nothing. The Rebbe Shlomo wants us to look at the tree. He wants us to admire the world, but not that it should be what." Hefsik, that he's mafsik mishnosa. He wants that to be a continuation of what you were doing in shul. A continuation of learning, of growing, of associating everything with Kedush, with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Klomer minat tekes olam hazem and olam haba. Ulam la'amito shodova kiproizdor v'traklin kach olam hazev olam haba. Heim enim shtei rishuyas. It's not two rishuyas. It's not two domains. Shnei Olamas Nefradim, two separate worlds. Ela Rishus Achas. That's how a Yid has to live. Rishus Achas. I live in one Rishus. I live in the world in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a hallway and has a hall. So, a hallway and the trackland. And that's, and I'm living in one, I live in one Rishus, in the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rishus HaYachid Yechid Shal Olam Echad Yachid HaMiyuchad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where I live. Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYochid is Hashem. That's my Rishus, that's where I live. When I'm at home, when I'm at work, when I'm traveling, when I'm a business person who's in a hotel room. Times over the years I've had chevra that have told me that they go on business trips, guys, and they go on business trips, and then they start with the movies or the television, and it goes on. Where's your wife and where are the children? More than 50 kilometers away. And where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? More than 50 kilometers away. What makes life different over here in a hotel room someplace in Minneapolis? What makes or Hong Kong or whatever. What makes it different than being, there are two Rishuyas? No, there's a Rishus HaYachid. You live in the Rishus HaYachid. Everywhere you live, wherever you go, is the Rishus HaYachid. Echad Yochad Miyuchad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sayyav Kalam Malikul Amin Mamish. This everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rishus Achas. Rishus Yechid HaShloilo. That's where a Jew lives. It's a whole mitzias that's called. It's a beautiful mitzias that has in it a hallway and the prose and the chocolate. But it's one mitzias. Just like you have in your house, you have a hallway and then you have the it gets to the dining room or whatever. It's not two different mishusim, two different mishuyas. It's one mitzias. It's one mitzias. There's the hallway and there's the dining room. It's not. It's one mitzias. And if you go to look for a house and someone takes you to show you a house and they say, this is, no, we only have hallways over here. No. And you open the door and it's just like hallways. What kind of house is that? And it wouldn't be a house, by the way, if it was just been one big room either. I mean, you could manage, but it's also not, it's not normal. A house has hallways and it has rooms. And they go from, That's how it is. Therefore, the great and pleasant and beautiful and exalted light that is filling the banquet hall, the king's room, Olam Haba, hayuchoyder v'shofea, it penetrates and it pours b'chol maloy apriz, the entire hallway. And that's how a Jew can live in this world. With the tzaddikim, there's a mind from the tzaddikim that this world is a beautiful world if you don't take it so seriously. What does it mean, this world is a lechtig world, it's a beautiful world if you don't take it so seriously? In other words, if you think that this world is das, that's it. So then it's a miserable world. But if you don't take this world so serious, I mean, if you don't look at this world as being the tachlis, so then the world is a beautiful world. It's a very beautiful world. Because because everything in this world is Malay Khalar's Kavod, everything in this world is Mamish with the light of the chocolate. But if not, then people go around looking to try to find someplace that's beautiful. They're looking to find someplace that's beautiful. Where they're going to have to. They're going to have to go look for some new place that they never went for a vacation. That there was some place where nobody ever made an Asher Yotzeh. To go find, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and usually, you know, they have all these wonderful little Shabbos, you know, Divrei Torah that like, Gil Yonot, you know, little pamphlets that come out from the Chassidim have them, Mizrahi, all different yeshivas have, and the bench outside of Shul. And there's a lot of good Torah. There's a very good Torah in many of these. And then you also have Stam politics and different things. But there's a lot of good Torah. So there's one in particular that I happen to like very much, and hasn't, because there's a Rashi that I like his Torah very much. And I took it back after davening, Friday night, and I enjoyed very much the Dvar Torah. There were two Dvar Torah that I enjoyed very, very much, and. And then I was looking, they have all these advertisements for places for Israelis to go now for Pesach. And I was thinking, oh, you got here. It came to Eretz Yisrael too. So I was, on the one hand, I said, okay, maybe that's good, the Jews could afford now. Because the biggest vacation, you know, when I was growing up that you had in Yerushalayim was someone would be an all-expense-paid trip to the Makolet, you know what I'm saying? But the places that they were showing there, I was thinking, for Israelis to go on these for Pesach, why would anybody want to go to these places? I don't even know how to pronounce some of them. Like in Greece, some of these places that they're making kosher Pesach, in Bulgaria. Why do you want to go to Bulgaria? And also, you go to Bulgaria, and there was Mongolia too. The prices are good? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they show a picture. I was wondering, so what do you have to show from Mongolia? I understand Paris, you can show the Eiffel Tower. What are you going to show from Mongolia? So they just showed it was like a clump of dirt. It wasn't even a mountain. I wasn't sure. I have this. I can show you. I brought it with me. And they have other places. Like they have these little boxes, and they show each place like your dream Pesach in these different places. So Cyprus, all these places, because Cyprus is close. So all of these places, just think for this, you have to, it's a Rachmanis that we have to go. You live in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm already seeing that there's some, you have some Rabbana from Eretz Yisrael that they're already coming to America for Pesach programs. So it bothers me. My wife says, what's the matter? You know, they're making a pronounce. So, okay, she calms me down. So they're coming, but you live in Yerushalayim, and you're coming for Pesach to Fort Lauderdale or something. What do you have to leave? Klilas Yaifi, to leave Yerushalayim to go to Fort Lauderdale? What happened to us? So, okay, to limit schus, that if they give him some money, this, you know, a person could go for panos to leave. But it's not just leaving, it's Pesach. But and people are going looking for places with bigger windows, you understand? They might as well just advertise we have the biggest window. People are looking for bigger windows. But if you be'emes, if you're a Jew, prize the tracklin, if you're a Rabbi Yaakov Jew, then your house could be very, very nice Pesach time. You don't have to run any place for Pesach. It's hard work. I'm starting to get it right. It's almost Purim. It's hard work. Ma'avoy desai slachem. You remember which son said that? Of the four sons. You know the Haggadah by heart, right? Which of the sons said, Ma'avoy desai slachem? It's hard work to make Pesach. Hard work. All the schusim that a Jew has in this world are from the work that he does for Pesach. If a person would believe in the Olam Haba, and he would be able to see some of the light coming from the tracklin, he would see that what he's poil with the preparations that he makes for the kitchen and the house for Pesach is poil more than all of the other mitzvahs of the year. And he's throwing it all away because I want to give my wife a bigger window. Because in the window that we have it in the house is too small. So Pesach will become bigger when you go someplace else. Pesach grows when you go away from home. It shrinks when you go away from home. That's what it does. It shrinks. When you leave your house, Pesach shrinks. Every step you take away from your house, Pesach gets smaller. Pesach gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. More Mitzrayim, 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 Mitzrayim. You go over here and you don't have to lift a finger, and you have people waiting on you, and they're standing there. You go Erev Pesach to lie down by the pool, and there's a guy that comes to prop up your pillow for you. Are you comfortable, Mr. Katz? Do you feel good, Mr. Schwartz? And you're sitting there and you're saying, I would feel comfortable, except I'm thinking about my friends back in the home, and I feel so bad for them. It's hard for me. I'm suffering at the thought of them. Who knows? They might be making a beer chametz right now or something. I hired somebody to make my beer chametz, and I feel bad for my friends that they're standing outside like with a fire and making an Indian like this. And I'm sitting here and I feel, how could I enjoy the beach when I know my friends? Kol zman that my friends are back at home. In Woodmere, in the Five Towns, suffering. We're talking about. We live in a good place, Baruch Hashem. Even if you have the smallest house in Woodmere, there's a sach besser from the Zaydis and the Babis, yeah? I have to translate that. So the guy can't enjoy his beach chair with the guy that rolled up the towel to make it just right, you know? And he says, "Would you like some lotion, sir? Would you like some suntan lotion?" No, I'm having a hard time thinking about my friends. How could I enjoy all the suntan lotion, Erev Pesach, when I know that my friend's wife is grating something to make a kugel? How could I enjoy? Is that good for beginning? That's just the start. That's just the beginning. So why do you want... So my wife always says to me, why do you want to make people feel so bad and feel so guilty? I said, I want them to feel bad. They should feel guilty about it. 100% they should feel bad. What do you mean? When it comes always to each person, when they come talk to me, and you know, for Mechir's Chametz, and I ask, because I have to ask where you're going, they say they're going someplace, I always make them feel good. I don't say bad things. I only say to the Chlal. When a person comes to me, I always say, it's beautiful day, you should have anah. And I do mean that, because I want every person to have anah. Of course I mean that. I don't want Chas V'Shalom that a person shouldn't enjoy Pesach. But I want that we should be Jews that think about what are we doing with our lives. I'm not so nervous. I have bitachon that once they get there, they'll enjoy it. Even though they hurt, you know, I don't think that my drushes are so effective that I'm spoiling anybody's day on the beach. I don't think that it's happening. Ad kedei kach. I don't think that somebody's saying that without machshava. I can't enjoy my beach here because of Weinberger's drasha. I don't think.
Ad kedei kach. They're sitting on the beach listening to the drasha.
Could be. Could be. I hope not. I don't want to be over there. I want to be just where I am. I want to be in my house with this, with my family, and my Pesach Seder, my table, with the smells of my kitchen, with our pillows and our blankets, and my tripping over the kids' shoes. I want to be in my house. I'd rather trip over my kids' shoes and fall flat on my face than walk in a shining lobby someplace with a bunch of goyim waiting on me. I'm telling you the truth. I'd rather trip over the shoes of my house and say, well, put your shoes away. I told you 1,000 times not to leave them there. Everybody's going to die when they come to the house tripping over their shoes. I'd rather do that than have 14 waiters bring me my gourmet shmur matzah. Or my non-gebrachts that I ordered. I only go to the non-gebrachts hotel. But it's a different perspective of trying to think in that way, of how to think. Hold on to that thought, which oftentimes doesn't work, because this one might think that way, but you marry someone that doesn't think that way. So what are you supposed to do? So every single person, when they come from Mechiras Chametz and they say, where are you going to be Pesach? They say, I'm going to be in. I say, I can't hear you. And then they say, oh, well, because I... I didn't hear you. I have to write it down. Where are you going to be? Fort Lauderdale. So I say, oh, it's nice. I heard it's nice. It's a nice program. He's a good guy. They're going to have some Rabbanim there. Speakers, yeah. I don't want to go. I really, my wife, Haisha Shinasati, Mardi, he knows me when I ate. Oh, it's not me, it's not me. I'd be so happy. I asked her for so many years to make Pesach. What can I do? She's tired, it's her chmanis. It's my wife. So, this is when it comes in handy to be married, right? One of those Isha Nasati, Mardi situations. But a person to have a Seichla Yosha. What did Rabbi Shalom, what did he mean when he took us out from that place? And he put us into a prose, and he said, "Luchtig a prose, where you live make big windows in your house. Don't look for big windows someplace else. Where you are, make big windows. Don't look for other people. Don't look for other wives or other husbands. Don't look at somebody else's children. Don't look at somebody else's house. Make big windows in your house. Make big windows by your children, by your wife, by your husband. Make big windows. Don't look for bigger windows someplace. Because it's not going to happen. It's not like that. And even though you might feel it for a few minutes, like it's something, but you're an ish neshama, afterwards you feel like, what did I do? The whole thing was stupid. How many times have people told me that? But I went there, I had no menucha, I had no yeshiva das, the whole thing, stambil bulim. But we had our seder, and they gave us a private room. I'm not sure you have to pay extra for that. Or some grandfather has to pay, $250,000 to bring his kids and everybody. He has to pay for having the private room. You have in your own house a private room. Or it's not enough room, we have to work hard and so on. All the inyan that Hashem never meant when he gave us Pesach. Never ever meant that there should be such an inyan of Jews looking for bigger windows away from their homes. Because if you're a Ben Chayrin, if you're free, and if you're out of Mitzrayim, then where you are, the windows are big. And if you're stuck in Egypt, and wherever you go in the world, it goes with you, Egypt. It has a way of doing that. Wherever you go, Egypt is sure to follow. So you could be in the fanciest, most expansive place in the world, and you're sitting there, and it says on top, Mitzrayim. That's what it says, Mitzrayim. And you could be sitting in a little darfel somewhere, nothing of a place, in one of those back alleys in Meir Sharm, and it says, Yerushalayim HaKadosh. That's what it says. Who's in a better place? But it takes emuna, just like I was talking to the person who lost the husband. You have to believe in that world. If you don't believe in that, if you don't believe in the other world, then you just do whatever you can to make bigger windows in this world. If you believe be'emes in the other world, then you have a big window wherever you are. It's a big window. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to try to make it into bigger windows wherever you are. How could you do better? You can't get better than this. You can't be luckier than what you have in your life. Just make it into a big window. And Hashem's Baruch Hu should help us to look out our windows and see the Beis HaMikdash.